When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear is a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive innit, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome to the Wolf and Owl podcast for you. It's time for the Wolf and Owl podcast for you.
Yo, Ron brings us sexy every week, yo.
We're both grey t-shirt in today.
Yeah, we are both. Well, this is blue, actually.
Is it? It looks kind of grey on this fire. Well, is it baby blue?
It is a baby blue, actually, I believe, yeah.
Where does your mindset lie, right? And you're probably, I don't know if you're like me, you bang on a t-shirt like that, sick t-shirt, by the way. Thanks. Good colour on you. Yeah. Looks well. Pings your dirty velvet. Pings your face out nice. Makes you, really encapsulates your beard. But as soon as like there's any kind of like heat or sweat residue, then we've got a problem, yeah?
Yeah. I had a thing where I was wearing a jacket the other day, over a t-shirt, and I thought it's quite warm. And then I went to lift the jacket up, and then I saw the situation underneath, and sort of where there was some underlining of the tits, there was big kebab wrapper situation under the arms, and so I just had to keep. I just basically continue wearing the jacket in discomfort. I basically decided to up my levels of discomfort to lower other people's levels of discomfort, you know, because...
Yeah, because it's uncomfortable when someone at the table is sitting covered in sweat.
Yeah, and people just sort of look... Because you look like you smell, and then people think... people start to imagine what that smell would be like, and then they start to believe they are smelling that smell. You know, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Or you've got one person sitting at the table who genuinely hasn't washed and does smell, who's like one of those cool sort of Hoxton vibey guys, do you know what I mean? Who doesn't wash all the time. He stinks, then he sees you, or me, with the sweat on, and then he's like, oh, they're going to take the fucking bullet for it. I had exactly the same. I'm sitting here in a grey t-shirt just waiting for the fucking sweat to come around my neck. So I'm sweating after a very hot shower, right? I had that same thing as you, cast dinner the other day. I was wearing a lovely, lovely little bit of kit.
Yeah.
But underneath, I hadn't thought about the T-shirt vibe. Sure. Always go white T-shirt, black T-shirt underneath for big shirt.
Correct. Absolutely
correct. I've gone grey. I could feel the sweat on my back when I put my hand up the back. I could feel a big sweat patch. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, a grey or pale blue T-shirt is the Russian roulette of fashion.
Absolutely.
If you get it right, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, look at that now. That shirt, genuinely, I think I'd struggle to think of a time I fancied you more than now, right? Looking at you. Serious, like, because every little bit it pings out your fucking eyes and nice, your glasses vibe with it. It's a nice look, bro. But you wear that one day, me and you going out, we're having some food, you have something particularly spicy, or the sun starts shining. No one knows where we are with the ozone layer now.
No, you don't know what the temperature variation is going to be. You know, one minute you're feeling a bit nippy, and actually the t-shirt issue is that your nipples are sticking through it. And the next thing, you start to sweat. My nipples, man, I don't...
Nipple-wise, I'm like Jennifer Aniston from Friends all the time.
Me too.
That is my vibe.
Me too.
It's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
But I was at school as well. I constantly had a nipple erection.
Yeah, I had an embarrassing situation where when we were filming in South Africa for Robin Romish Versus, we put on the England cricket tops to do this like challenge thing.
Yeah.
And then it was such a nipply situation. You know, sometimes when you go, oh God, I'm a bit worried about this, and somebody from production will go, oh no, don't worry, it looks fine. I went, look at my nipples. And then someone from production went, oh yeah. Like that. So they actually thought it was a situation as well. And then, this is no exaggeration. They said, why don't you put a cricket jumper on? I put on a cricket jumper on. You could still see my nipples through the jumper.
Oh, fucking hell.
I had layers on. You could still see my nipples poking through. And actually, at that point, I started to think, I need to try and monetize this because I might be like a modern miracle. Do you know what I mean? I might be like one of the wonders of the world. It doesn't matter how many layers you put on this guy. No, I've got regular size. I would describe them as regular size nipples, I think.
I've got like sort of quite pea nipples.
What do you mean pea?
Like little peas. Well, you know the what's the bit around the nipples
called?
The
areola?
Yeah. Sounds a bit like that Spanish mayonnaise with garlic, but
aioli.
You've
got the old aioli nipples. They sort of secrete. Yeah, they secrete this kind of white pus that's quite nice with potato.
Or it's even worse if you go into a restaurant and ask for some arioli with a little wink.
Yeah.
Do you know what I have with my squid rings? A little arioli, please. Massive sweating chef comes to throw you out. Sweat brothers. Mine do it all the time. Mine did it at school. And people used to think there was a correlation between... is it correlation?
I don't know what you're about to... you've stopped mid-sentence. I don't know if...
This is essential this word gets right. Correlation between your nipples being erect and your dick being erect.
Correlation is the right word, sorry, yeah. It's absolutely the right word.
So, yeah, so people at school used to think if you had a nipple erection, you also had an erection.
Yeah. And the saddest thing was is the nipples are more noticeable.
Yeah. which is genuinely quite the truth when it comes to my body.
Yeah, I don't like... Oh, God, you've got me paranoid about nipples now. I've had a bad morning, mate.
I've had a shit dog weekend, so you hit me up with your morning and then we'll talk.
It's not bad. I just feel a bit... I'm trying to exercise. This morning I got up and I ran for an hour. Right? It's a big achievement for me, right? Is I managed to run without stopping for an hour.
You ran for an hour without stopping in one go?
Yeah.
Bro, that's sick. That's amazing.
Yeah, I felt great.
I could not fucking do that in a million years, so salute you.
I reckon...
Well, in a million years, I could if I ran like 10 minutes every day. I'd work up to an hour.
You'd actually gradually build it up, yeah. So I did that.
I could probably run a marathon, but an hour is amazing.
So this morning, I thought I'm going to do that. So I got up this morning, I thought I'm going to do that run again. And then we're having a skip delivered because we're moving house. God, I'm actually fucking bored. I'm so early on in this story and I'm already bored. But anyway, so we're getting a skip delivered. So I had to move my car. So I moved my car, dropped off at my brother's, ended up staying there having a little bit of a chat with him. Then I came home and I thought, do you know what? I've not got time for a run now because I've got to do podcasts with Tom. I'm going to do Peloton. And then I ended up sort of dicking around on the PlayStation with the kids. Anyway, long story short, I started the morning off thinking I was going to do an hour's run. I moved down to shortening the run, moved down to maybe doing Peloton. I ended up just having a large breakfast. So it's just so upsetting to me as I was eating my porridge to think, this should have been a run. This should have been me losing calories and I'm actually taking calories on board. Do you know what I mean?
You know the thing to do, though?
What?
Don't beat yourself up. Focus on the fact, last week you did this incredible hour run, right?
Mm.
You know you've got an hour run in you. And you know what, tomorrow? You're going to wake up and you're going to feel more fired up to do that hour run. You'll probably do an hour and 10 minutes if I know you. Because you're an absolute G.
Yeah.
You know, with Ramesh Ranganathan, I nearly said Ramesh Ranganathan, right?
Yeah. Look, do me a favour. Stop dropping in the name of the person you'd rather be doing the podcast with, right?
Right. If a mountain stands in front of him, he fucking shits on that top of that mountain when he's climbed it in a record time. So you can do it, all right? I believe in you.
Yeah. You love the mountain thing, don't you? It's a big thing for you, mountains. Yeah.
I like mountains, man.
Have you climbed a mountain before?
No. Snowdonia, I had a little trot up. But the thing for me that's great about mountains is they don't know how fucking amazing they are for our culture.
For our culture?
For the world, right, there's one thing the whole world agrees on, right? Mountains are massive. That doesn't matter who you vote for, what sort of side of the, you know, like fucking what religion you are. There's one thing that everyone fucking gets together and goes, oh, fucking mountains are massive, mate.
Oh, do you know what? By the way, I'd love to be invited to one of those parties.
No, I'm just saying.
Did you go around Tom's for dinner the other night? No, what happened? Oh, we all got together and having a bit of a chat, but Tom did his usual thing of asking everyone to sort of confirm that they thought the mountains were massive.
No, but right.
It does it every time we go around.
Look, you're being a bit scabby about this, all right? Right. The truth of the matter is, right, what you have to get in your head, yeah?
Yeah.
Is you could go anywhere in the world, and if you talk about mountains, you will be able to bond with other human beings. If you cipher off and start talking about religion or fucking, you know, any other sort of like really clever subjects, yeah, that comes with friendship. Of course it does, Ramesh, right? But you start a conversation with going, everyone has their mountains, and I hope that you can climb yours. And I'll tell you what, mate, you've got a friend for life.
I don't think you've got a friend for life. I think you've got quite a sort of pithy ending to a conversation that I would argue would lead to that person probably not getting in touch with you again. I don't know if that means you've got a friend for life. I just don't try to think about the number of times you've said that to someone and walked off. Oh, why have I not got back in touch with me? Hello, mate.
I don't know if
you remember me, but I'm the one that said that thing about the mountain and I hope you managed to climb it. It's weird that I sort of...
Barbara, the mountain guy's on the phone. Every holiday.
So listen, Tom, you've actually helped me there, bro. You have helped me.
Yeah, no, but
you've improved my mood. So let me try and do the same for you.
Yeah.
Talk to me about your weekend.
Yeah, so I actually had a bit of a shit one, brother. My dog got attacked by another dog, which was pretty fucking savage.
What happened?
Catherine was taking him for a walk, another dog just came sprinting out and just literally started spitting a hole out of him, his side.
Are you serious?
His neck. Yeah, man. And also fucking all Catherine's legs are just smashed up where the dog's just getting at her as well.
What? Like the dog bit? Did the dog bite?
No, just madly bruised where it's like sort of going in on her and she's sort of like tussling with it. It's horrific, man. And do you know this
where's this dog from? What happened?
Legally to say because it's a police case now, so I can't say where it happened. But
but you're not willing to name everyone involved for the podcast?
Do you know this is genuinely the truth, right? Catherine turned around and she said, the main thing is do not name this person when you're doing the podcast with Ramesh. Don't name them. And I was going to, so it was good that she said that. It happened on Friday. So it's pretty...
I'm sorry to hear
pretty
that.
Far back. And, I mean, it's a weird one because dogs, you know, they're sort of like your family. And it's horrible as well because he's, like, terrified of the vets. It was fucking... And that... But the thing that just fucking did me out of everything is the guy turned around to Catherine and his argument for everything was, oh, he's never done this before. I was like, well, he's clearly done it now. You can't use that as an excuse. At some point, anyone who did anything bad has never done that before.
Yeah, you can't. You can't get away with doing something horrific because you're a first timer.
No,
do you know what I mean? I don't think.
And also, he at never one point has gone, no, I'm going to drink, have my medicine here. This is out of order. And you know, he's heard about 30 excuses since it's happened. But it's You know, the sad thing is, and actually, I will shout out for everyone because I don't usually share anything like about. Like this online, it's not really sort of my vibe. I try to keep it positive, but I just think it's something that I didn't realize quite how many people dog owners this has happened to, and then there's more people you spoke to after, the more people who sort of seem to have sort of had this vibe happen to them, this thing happen to them, and then so firstly I'd like to thank everyone who got in touch and sort of nice messages and whatever, but also it's just really sad to see how many times it happens and how many times sort of the dog, and I don't even blame the dog, I blame the owner in this situation. It's a sort of, it's a pretty shit thing, man. It's been a tough old week.
How is our boy?
He's squeaking a lot. I mean, the trouble is, he's probably forgot, because dogs don't have a massively long-term memory, so he's probably...
How long is a dog's memory?
I think it's longer than a camel's, but shorter than an elephant's.
Okay, so, that's two other pieces of information I don't know.
Well, camels have the shortest memory, right? Or they have the longest?
I think goldfish have the shortest memory. I'm going to look this up now.
Elephants have incredible memories.
I think that's a myth, isn't it?
You don't want to fuck an elephant over. If you're going to fuck an elephant or a camel over, who are you going to fuck over?
Well, that you're talking about a size thing now. I'm not making a decision about which animal I... First of all, I wouldn't fuck over an animal, ideally. Secondly, I'm not making a decision about which animal I fuck over based on how long they're going to remember this for.
Right, I'm just saying that, right? Just picture this, right? You go to the zoo, right?
Yeah.
You end up in a card game, right?
You know, listen. On, dolphins have the longest memories in the animal kingdom.
Wow.
So there you go.
Right. Okay.
Carry on with your example.
Right. You're playing cards in a zoo, right? There's a camel, an elephant, and a dolphin there, right? Knowing that all three of those has long-term memories, right?
Yeah. Are those the only three animals they've got?
Well, no. There's other animals playing, but you're not too worried about them because they're not going to remember you, right?
Right.
And knowing that, you know, Alex or Charlie goes, I can't wait to come back to the zoo next month, Dad. You're like,
you I know, don't listen. Let me tell you something. I don't mind you doing a little dick voice when you're impersonating me. I draw the line when it comes to my children. Right?
Well, I know, right? That's a kid's voice, like the Famous Five.
No, that's I don't want people thinking my kids are from the Famous Five. Oh, Daddy, please take us to the zoo again. I do love wildlife. Oh, what a fascinating menagerie of creatures they've got here, Daddy. Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to see what the world has to offer in terms of its different wildlife and fauna.
That's okay, Alex. Right, so you're in a game of poker, right? High-end poker.
At the zoo?
Yeah. You cheat in a game of poker with the animals. Yeah. Who would be the one that you'd most want to cheat, thinking, right, I fucked it over, but then it's got...
Let me get this straight. It's the dolphins in a tank next to the table.
Well, yeah, he's like leaning out of the table because they can do that.
He's leaning out of the tank.
Yeah.
So I can get a visual on this, how's he holding the cards?
Well, he's got his cards on like a little plaque sort of thing. Actually, no, let's just say Charlie's got his cards for him because Charlie's helping him out.
So Charlie's helping the dolphin out, okay.
Yeah, so Charlie's
elephant,
on the side.
Elephant stood up or sat down?
Well, he sat down for the cards. And also, he doesn't want to be aggressive because he's got a kind heart. But obviously, you've seen Dumbo. He can do all this with it, the end of his nostril thing.
His trunk?
Trunk, yes.
Holy shit.
So he's got his trunk and he's got his cards in his trunk, yeah?
Right.
And then the camel, let's just say Theo's helping out the camel.
Okay, fine.
Daddy, thank you so much for letting me assist this camel.
And you're sitting next, and you've got Alex who's sort of helping you out a bit.
Okay, fine.
Because he's actually weirdly a really good car player out of all of the kids. So you've picked, yeah. So out of all of the other animals, right?
Yeah.
Okay, kids aside, right? Who would you most likely fuck over?
Dolphin.
You'd fuck the dolphin? Well, I'd agree with that, actually. It's the most sensible thing you've ever said. Because the dolphin can't get out of the tank. As long as you don't ever go in the dolphin's tank, he can never get in, right?
Yeah, correct. That's my thinking.
Yeah, but then you've got two others, right? So out of those two, the dolphins only entered the game because you wanted him to play. I don't even want him involved.
Don't get angry with me because your example is falling apart.
So the dolphin's out of the game, right? Okay. So Charlie's now just lurking about, just chatting with some monkeys and some like hippo or whatever over, and the dolphin. They're all just off chatting.
But still in view. I wouldn't leave him unsupervised.
Well, no, yeah. Yeah, no, of course, yeah. But he's safe with the dolphin. The dolphin's got a kind heart.
I've just fucked the dolphin over.
Well, that's true. Yeah, okay. Right, so now you've got
Next thing, you know, what I don't want to see is Charlie being flipped up on this dolphin's snout as some sort of threat.
Right, now you've got the elephant and the camel, right?
Yeah.
You get down, you're both all in. You've put your new house on the line. The elephant's put, like, its forest on the line. The camel's put, like, all of its stuff on the line, right?
just when you're thinking of examples, think, do I have an example for every one of these things? And if you don't start. It would be my tip to you, all right?
So now it comes all in, right? You've got a chick, like, Theo gives you a little nudge, right?
Mm.
Oh, Charlie's on your team, isn't he? No, Theo, isn't he?
No, Charlie's being battered to death by a dolphin, currently.
And he shows you an ace, right? You put the ace up your sleeve to cheat, right?
Okay.
Who would you most likely fuck over out of the camel and the elephant? That's a big question.
The camel.
Right, that's exactly the answer I wanted.
Why? What does that prove?
Well, no, it just proves that you're, well, I don't know, I guess like...
What's the point you're making? You can't even remember what point you're trying to make, can you?
No, the point of it is, like, yes, they've both got good memories, but you know that the camel's weaker than the elephant, so you've picked on a weaker one, really.
Yeah, I have done, yeah.
So, yeah, I have... Much
what
like,
is the point? Do you know what you're trying to get across?
Even, like probably one of the, like a goldfish in a way, I've forgotten what the moral of the story is because I've got so deep in the story itself. My point of it is.
So all of that, that's one of the biggest wastes of time we've had on this podcast.
You've taken us into
detailed stories before.
Right? These animals don't always.
This could be the first time you take to a detailed story and then midway forgotten what the fucking point was.
I think I've got it now. Animals don't always remember, right? But they always care, right? So my dog, he probably won't remember some of these, like the attack itself, until he's in that situation again. And then he might have some sort of PTSD.
So Theo, our eldest, when he was a baby, we took him to a friend's house in a car seat.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Yeah.
And a dog came over and like sort of barked at him in the car seat so aggressively and pushed him forward that he sort of fell off the chair. Yeah, it was pretty full on.
What kind of dog was it?
It's only little, wasn't massive, wasn't a big dog, right? So we obviously freaked out, and obviously you freak out more when it's your first as well. So like, I mean, I don't think a dog shoving your kid off a chair is, you know, you're not overreacting, I don't think.
No, anyway, we
picked up the car seat and he was totally fine. The dog hadn't attacked. The dog hadn't really done anything wrong. It was just overexcited, right? But we freaked out a bit, but also had to mediate that freaking out with the fact that we're at these people's house. We don't know them well enough to go, what the fuck, man? So we just sort of like, oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. Anyway, it took Theo years to not be nervous around dogs, man. Like, you
of course,
know, you sort of think he was a little baby then, right? So you just sort of think, how much are babies sort of remembering and storing from all this? Like, for years afterwards, it took such a long time for him to be comfortable around dogs again, man. It was mad.
What's he like now with them?
He loves them. In fact, we have one on the way very soon.
When have you got it coming?
In about a month. Wow. Maybe.
What are you getting?
I'm slightly nervous because the way you settled in as you asked that question was like you're about to savage me for whatever I say to you now.
Hey, this is a safe space, all right? There's one thing I'll never, ever do is I'll never take the mick out of your dog.
Okay. We're getting a miniature golden doodle.
What's a golden doodle?
It's a cross between a golden retriever and a poodle.
I bet it's a cool-looking dog.
Looks like a teddy bear from the photos.
Is it? So hold up. When you say miniature, how big does it get?
Well, it varies. So sort of bigger than a poodle, smaller than a golden retriever. Wow. Somewhere in the
golden
middle.
Golden retrievers, man. They're a lovely dog.
You're a big fan of them?
They've just got good hearts, man, true hearts. Mm. I tell you what you've got with a poodle. Because the poodles are... Poodles are pretty little. But they're very intelligent poodles.
So I've been told.
You've basically got a dog that's just full of love and also full of intelligence.
Yeah.
It's almost like me and you, actually, if there was a Tomish.
Yeah.
I'd be the golden retriever and you'd be the poodle.
So you think I'm prissy, is what you're saying?
Well, and intelligent.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know what? Fair play to you, Tom. I've willfully taken that the wrong way. And that's bad of me. That's bad of me.
If me and you were to, like, sort of, I don't know, how would we do it? Like, you know, procreate a little version of us that would run around, a Tomish, that would be
If we tried to create some sort of, like, just single podcaster child, if there is a way in the future that we could combine your and my genetics to create something.
Yeah.
I actually think whatever we created would be quite annoying.
Yeah, because it would have all... It'd just be like... Oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
Just constantly correcting itself.
That's not the word you're looking for.
Yeah, like when Stewie has that... in Family Guy, Stewie has this bit of... Yeah, man. It's but you're you know, with dogs, kids, I guess, it's all the same vibe, brother. It's that sort of protective nature.
So your dog got attacked on Friday.
Yeah.
And then was the rest of the weekend sort of dealing with the aftermath of that? Or things happen?
No, it's just a bit more, it was just a bit of TLC, brother. Just looking after my wife and the dog, making sure they were all right before.
How was Kat?
She was pretty freaked out with the whole thing, actually. She was pretty freaked out. She was pretty scared. Like, I think it's thrown her, actually, quite a lot, sort of. I think, you know, we've obviously had him for like 7-8 years now. Mm. So the thought of like that happening is your worst fear of a dog, you know? So I think, so I think she's probably more anxious about going out with him because there was nothing she could do to stop the whole thing. So it was, it's pretty, I mean, I went home, I brought everyone a curry because I thought that was, well, obviously not the dog, he had some poppadoms.
Does the dog eat poppadoms?
Yeah, he loves poppadoms. He's obsessed with them.
With chutney or without?
Without chutney, yeah. They can't have onions and stuff. When you get a dog, really look into it, mate. They can't have chocolate. I don't want to see you like sitting around with chocolate all over you, half a Dairy Milk all over your fingers. Well, or like the vegan. I suppose actually it's pretty good actually because you being a vegan, it's quite good.
I'm not going to feed the dog vegan.
No, I just thought the dog.
What
licking...
a fucking miserable dog that would be.
No, but just the dog licking chocolate off your fingers. Oh, right, and stuff.
I know that dogs can't eat chocolate.
And onions, like there's loads of stuff they can't eat. So just go through that. Yeah,
I'm going to. I don't know what you think. I don't know how you think I'm going to approach this dog ownership thing. I'm going to do a bit of research, mate.
Well, also make the whole family aware that you know you're all doing it. So do it as a fun thing in the evenings.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Like a little quiz.
Yeah. We'll do. Yeah.
I could write the quiz if you wanted.
I'd love you to. Yeah. You up for that?
I'll do like 10 questions.
Yeah. You made my our youngest so happy yesterday because you and I were doing little voicemail exchanges. Yeah. And then you said, Charlie, you rock.
Oh, man.
And he was so delighted, man. He was so delighted.
He's a great kid. It's one of my happiest thoughts if I ever get down as you just playing on the PlayStation before they all go to school.
Yeah. Do you know, Theo's got really shit hot FIFA, man. I can't beat him anymore.
Tell him just to get ready because when I come over, I'm pretty amazing at FIFA.
Dude, he's been playing online. He's yet to be beaten.
What?
I'm serious.
You need to tell him to fuck off school then, mate. Just he's becoming full-time FIFA. Mate, people are earning serious money out of that now. Mate, that would be incredible.
Yeah, I'd love that. Just to sack off his education and for him to play FIFA full-time. Yes, please.
Yeah, but the only trouble is I knew this kid, right? Well, not the kid. I knew this guy. It'd be weird if I had a friend who was a kid who was good at FIFA. I knew this guy who was really, really good at like FIFA 20, right? Incredible at it, sick at it. Like, you know, probably sort of like, you know, your boy's standards, right? FIFA 21 comes out, he's nowhere near as good. But he'd given up his job. He fucking was like vibing on that FIFA.
Dude, what are you talking about? They barely changed the game between years.
Mate, he reckons that he doesn't know what it is. Maybe something in his head just went, He just couldn't get.
Is this a true story?
Yeah, man, it's a true story.
This sounds so made up.
It's a true story. It's like he was genuinely.
So,
like,
in 2020, this guy gave up his job because he's so good at FIFA 20.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they brought out FIFA 21,
and he just couldn't get. Yeah, he was just hated it. He was saying to honestly, like, do you know, like, I'm going to tell you the truth of the situation, right?
All right.
When lockdown was going on, right, I got slightly obsessed with FIFA Ultimate Team.
Okay.
I was like playing it.
How much money did you spend?
Not as much as other people we know who I went through it. Yeah.
But you spent a bit of money.
I spent a bit to have a decent team, right?
Right.
But this is the thing, right? I then get to a point where I'm like, oh man, this is fucking. So I reach out to a couple of FIFA professionals, right? Or people who play FIFA.
To say what? Like,
to say, look, can you help me here?
Oh my God. So I had a couple of online lessons. This is so tragic. Oh my God. No, you didn't.
Yeah. It was. And it was this guy, right? For a network of people, it's a bit like don't fuck with cats kind of vibe, you know, it's a network of people on this.
Thing. Yeah.
Anyway, it was one of the people I met from there, another FIFA-on, as they called it, he called himself, right?
What's he called himself?
FIFA-on. Okay. Right? Who basically turns to me and tells me this almost woeful, sad tale. And from there, I'm like, fucking hell, man. I just don't know what to say, bro. I've never met him in person. But
I just can't believe you had online FIFA lessons.
Yeah. I was getting so frustrated.
So what
I
mean, end? Why? Why did you want lessons?
Because I wanted not to lose, and I was getting beaten by like last minute goals. And I mean, I got like, so the thing with me, right, is I have like, I get obsessed with things.
Mm.
Like, you know, some of those things like golf or boxing or like, you know, exercise are like healthy, right? Some of them like alcohol or whatever, or playing FIFA all the time aren't healthy for you.
Mm, sure.
Right? So the FIFA one was just like, I wanted to be better at it than I actually was. So I was like, how do I improve? And then I sort of like just got chatting to this guy and he was like, right, look, let's just have a couple of games against each other and I can show you some tricks.
How did you just get chatting to this guy? What happened?
I hit him up on Twitter.
Oh my God.
And I was like, yo, bro, you seem like you know your shit when it comes to FIFA. And he was like, yeah, man. Like, I'm really good at it. And I was like, oh, man, I'm really struggling. Lucky enough, he'd seen some of my stuff, so he knew who I was.
Mm.
So, we came to a deal, and he sort of helped me out.
You paid?
No, I didn't pay. No. Oh. I did some tweets about it. If you go back, I've done some tweets about him.
Oh, my God.
And out there somewhere in the ether is a video of me and him playing together.
Really?
Yeah.
And how good are you in this video?
I got pretty sick, you know. I got a pretty good one of it. I played, you know, James Maddison, the Leicester player. I played him.
Yeah.
He only beat me 1-0, and he's an incredible. I think he won a tournament amongst all the footballers. So
yeah.
I got pretty good. But my chips are in, they're all in. I can't.
If I was Cat, I'd worry about you a little bit. You know.
Yeah, I worry about myself quite a lot.
Mm, yeah,
it's one of the triggers of my my mind.
I mean, I'm sort of criticizing you. I did do the same with Fortnite, but I mean,
this is what you always do. Like, I sit here, I can see, I'm sitting talking to one of my best friends in the world. I'm fucking. There's two of us in this conversation. Yeah, there's a load of people who are going to listen to this. I don't think about that. I'm blushing because I've talked about all kinds of things because you're like.
Yeah.
Look at me. And then I'm like, generally feel like, oh, God, it's kind of pathetic. And then you come in and go, I did the same thing with Fortnite.
Well, like, you know, you could look at it that way or you could look at it another way. I could have not said that. I just left you hanging.
Fair enough. So listen, hit me up while I'm with Fortnite.
So the boys, they're not, although they've just started to get back into it, but they're playing Fortnite a lot during lockdown, right?
Yeah, whatever you're saying.
And so Lisa and I had kind of decided to get a bit more relaxed about their screen time because they weren't seeing their mates. And actually, this was a way of them sort of hanging out with their mates because they couldn't see them, but they were chatting to them on this thing, right? And then I said to Lisa, we need to play Fortnite with them because like this is the thing they want to do. And like this would be a good way of sort of getting involved. So we started playing Fortnite, but I just couldn't. I'm not talking about getting good at it. I'm talking about, we'd play a game and the boys would end up sort of shouting at me because I was just being so shit. I would do the thing where I'd hide when the game started to avoid dying.
Oh, God. Sorry. I don't want to be condescending, but wow.
Well, apparently that is the worst thing to... That is a really tragic thing to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, what would happen is I'd then be the only survivor of our team and then they'd need me to do stuff to resurrect them and stuff and I just was completely fucking incapable of doing it. And then you'd sort of end up in this situation where my like sons are going, Dad, no, Dad, go there. Go, like just shout, all three of them just shouting at me because I wasn't doing the thing.
Were you in a team with them or?
Yeah, squad. Like, so we do like a squad thing.
So you've got four controllers?
No, they've got like, so we've got two controllers and one console and one of them is playing on Switch. One of them is playing on his phone or something.
To be honest, man.
Yeah.
That's one of the sweetest things I've ever heard. Not the shouting bit because that's genuinely like quite sad. But actually yeah, all of you together. Yeah, all of you together. Playing as a squad.
Yeah.
Actually fills my heart. And I know people slag off computer games and stuff, but that's a real moment, right?
Yeah, it's family time. It's modern family time, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I wrote an article about the fact that I was so shit at Fortnite. And somebody reached out and I ended up getting a bit of like Fortnite training on how to get better at it. But it's a bit different to you because I wasn't like trying to go from good to excellent. I was trying to get from embarrassing sort of vaguely competent. Do you know what I mean? So
how good did you get on it?
Oh shit. I'm still
also
shit.
It's less embarrassing, mate. You wrote a fucking article for one of the biggest national newspapers in the country, right? And someone reached out to you. I trawled on Twitter and probably sent messages to about 30 people, of which got back to me.
No, you're right. What you did was much sadder. But you know what I would say is, so one day Charlie and I were playing, just the two of us, and we went into some sort of, I don't know what they're called, some sort of area, all right? And there, like Charlie had his like speakers on, so we could hear like, you know, you can chat to the people that you're fighting with. And a couple of kids from his school like logged on, and I had a different name because I just wanted to sort of play anonymous. And then Charlie's obviously told one of these kids it's his dad. I swear to you, this, right? He kills me, right? And then I hear him go, I just killed Ramesh Ranganathan on Fortnite, right? And then all of a sudden, fucking people start dropping into the area. And I become like a fucking trophy kill. Just
oh my
like
God.
So I just thought that kids start like targeting me and just trying to fucking destroy me. They just keep going, I just killed Ramesh Ranganathan. I just killed Ramesh Ranganathan. It was mental, man. I had to just drop out of it. Charlie didn't give a shit. Loved it.
Didn't he try and protect you?
Yeah, but what can he do, man? Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, you've got a choice between humiliating yourself or your dad getting it in the head. You've got to let dad die.
And you know what? I bet there's blokes going sort of like, I don't know, like in fucking lockdown card games going, yeah, my boy shot Ramesh Ranganathan a day of Fortnite. Fucking smashed in a bitch.
Yeah. He thinks he's funny. Not funny in the room. Yeah. Tell you that for nothing.
Yeah, you know, Ramesh Ranganathan's just spent his whole lockdown playing Fortnite with kids. It all gets like dissed up and like the whole story gets different and you're not playing with Charlie. You're just in a fucking Fortnite room with a load of 9-year-olds.
No, but that's what I was worried about, bro. I was just thinking, this isn't a good look. Do you know what I mean? And also, you don't know how this is going to get reported. I was sort of so nervous about saying anything to the kids in case it's like Ramesh Ranganathan playing with a load of 9-year-olds called one of them a or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So
I had to turn my speakers off when it came to play FIFA, I get so annoyed with it.
Really?
But now I've gone back, man. I've regressed to playing career mode. Mm. It's just the time for me to chill, and it's just me versus the computer.
I like all that. I'll tell you what I've been playing, and I'll tell you, I've been playing a lot on the Switch, Mario 3D World.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to tell you, playing that game, and I could call it now, and people can come at me if they want, playing Mario is like meditation. I'm convinced of that. You're just so in. You know, I mean, a lot of video games are like this, but Mario, because Mario's so relaxing, there's very little jeopardy in Mario. Do you know what I mean? You just sort of, it doesn't really get frustrating. It just sort of gets quite enjoyable, the challenge of it. I think it's really good, man. Like,
I've been playing, that's why I play FIFA. I find that against the computer.
I think one of the most relaxing things to do is play a video game to the point where you're frustrated at your standard of play. And then contact people on social media to give you lessons in exchange for whoring yourself out on your social media platforms. You're right. That is a lot like meditation. Okay. Do you want to do some emails, my G?
Let's do it, my baby boy.
Okay, first email is from the Eagle and Eaglet.
What? Is there such thing as an eaglet?
No, I think so. No.
Quite cute, quite a nice little name, though.
Hi, Wolf, Owl and Swan. My daughter was a bloody angel until she hit 17. Then boys, drinking, disrespect and a bloody nightmare until it was time for uni. She did 2 months and left as she felt unwell. The unwell feeling was a beautiful baby girl that came along soon after.
This is a big in, right?
I know, it's a really twisty story, this. We started rebonding watching Misadventures, Ranganation and King Gary. I've recently discovered this amazing podcast, which I introduced her to. We're both obsessed and text each other from our bedrooms during the night, saying, listen to Ep 30, 32 minutes in, etc. Just so, so funny and gives us common ground. My question is, okay, what I'm going to tell you now is, this pre-story is absolutely nothing to do with the question. It's one of the biggest left turns. In an email I've ever seen. My question is, what programs can you remember bonding with your parents over in your teenage years? Mine was Bullseye on a Sunday evening. Still love watching it on Dave and reminiscing. Absolutely adore you both. Sweet, sweet souls. So much love. The Eagle and the Eaglette.
Maybe Eaglettes are eagles, little like, sort of babies.
What led you to that, Luther? Well, the fact that it's a mother and daughter email.
Yeah, that was... That would have been it, I reckon.
Jesus.
Programs we bonded over. I'd say Fools and Horses.
Yeah.
Big time. Fools and Horses. Blackadder.
Tom, I can't believe we've not talked about this before. Blackadder.
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God, I love that show.
I loved that show. My mum, dad and sister used to watch that. I was obsessed with that. Me and my dad used to just sort of like, and I sort of come back, quote it and everything. It was a big, big one for us as
Blackadder the Third.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, do you know what?
When I go back and think that the Second World War one was, I think 2, 3, 4 was pretty much perfect as right. Well, they did proper jokes in them, you know, like.
Yeah. And I remember watching that one with parents and it makes you think, you know, like when you think about comedies now, and you think, as you become an adult, you want sort of people talk about edgy comedies and stuff like that. But that experience, and I think, you know, King Gary might give that to people now, is that experience of as a family sitting down and watching a thing that you can all enjoy. I remember sitting down with my parents and watching Blackadder. It was so great, man. It was such a great shout.
I remember that last episode, and I know people have talked about it, but I think it's almost the most perfectly written piece of artwork ever. That last episode in the Second World War and
the push over the top.
When I go over the top. I think it's genuinely, I think not only, I think it goes far, far above comedy, just on the basis that it was just like, just to encapsulate the feeling of what it must have been like.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was insane. I just, man, and on another flip turn, Gladiators was a massive one in our house on a Saturday afternoon or evening.
Gladiators
and, fish and chips a little takeaway vibe.
Yeah.
Little Chinese takeaway. And watching Gladiators was massive.
Yeah.
We were obsessed. I don't know about you and like your kin, but we used to sort of watch it and then all of our mates would just like try and recreate like on the stairs or whatever. You'd just put duvets on stairs and try and run up it or like fill the air. Playing Gladiators was sick afterwards. I also think that Gladiators was good for people, good for humanity.
In what way?
Right. Because you had to be amazing at something to get on it, right? You had to be fit. You had to be, you know, it's a bit like Ninja Warrior now. I think it's one of those things where you saw, like Bullseye was as well, you know? There was an element of skill to it, you know? And I just think that was, it gave you something like to admire the people who put themselves through the Gladiators or, you know, two guys from sort of Bolton who went on Bullseye. I mean, Bullseye was a sick program as well. I'm still obsessed with Bullseye.
Yeah. I didn't like the prizes.
But then the prizes were amazing. You've got to remember those things people didn't, and not everyone had in their houses then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, but who the fuck wants a boat?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, look, the truth of the matter is, I think you get a boat and there's probably only 5% of the society, but you can sell that boat to someone and get some sweet, sweet moolah. And that's probably the best way of doing it.
So, anyway, you know, but that's the point.
I like the fact that you had a show where someone could hand out could keep the cash in their pocket and that was a reward price. It wasn't like, you know, you literally saw someone given some cash that night.
Yeah.
And they go off. Rather than like now, it's like, I always sit there and think, how do these people get the money? Like £10,000 or £5,000.
You don't think that, do you?
Well, no, obviously it goes into their bank. But I like seeing a transfer of someone giving someone 250 quid.
Yeah, I like making that person a sort of a high potential of being mugged. I like that.
Mate.
Yeah, rather than transferring it to your bank in a safe way, We're going to give it to you in cold, hard cash. Good luck on the cheap home.
People didn't have bank transfers then. You had to have checks and postal orders.
Sure.
This is before the internet.
Yeah, no, I get you.
You got dizzy with the internet now. Yeah. It's a different world.
I got all carried away. Sorry, mate. Me and the internet. I'm always doing that.
What's your thing in the rank of Nathan?
We watched a lot of Blackadder, as I said. Just on Blackadder. We started watching it on the second one, right?
Yeah.
And then years later, I remember buying all of them, like the box set of everything, right?
Yeah.
And I watched the first... I just
got a vision of you going to HMV and Blackadder's, all four series are on sale.
Yeah. Can I get Blackadder, please? Yeah, we got the latest one there. No, not the latest one. I want everyone.
just with a girl that you're vaguely seeing.
Well, there you go. That's where your impression falls apart. The idea that I'd be vaguely seeing a girl around the time that I was into Blackadder. I didn't get into Blackadder when I was 24, mate. but I watched the first series. I didn't really... It's the first time I'd seen the first series, having watched all of the others.
Yeah.
It's just nothing like the other series, right? No. Like they hadn't found it yet, had they, really?
No. It got. I think it was, wasn't it, like Rowan Atkinson and all that sort of started took over the writing. I think it was Bennett one joined as a writer.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And I think that was a change up.
But the other thing is that if that happened now, if Blackadder had dropped a first series like that now, you never would have seen a second or third series.
No, you know what I mean,
they let it run and see what they could do with it. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, but I think the talent that they had on their disposal. That
that's true.
Hugh Laurie in that is incredible.
Oh my God.
He is incredible, amazing, man. When you watch Hugh Laurie there, and obviously now, like, as a director and a house and everything, but you actually sort of, like, as a comedy performer, in that last episode, the over the top one, his ability to play an idiot, but also really sort of like make the whole audience empathetic towards him, isn't just amazing. I think for anyone, if you want a short, sharp course in like how to be an incredible comedy actor, just go and watch Hugh Laurie, because he's the G of all G's.
Oh my God, it's so good. It's so good. It's a great shout. Okay, Eagle and Eaglet, thank you so much for your email. Very much appreciated.
Saw together, and let me say, it's put a smile on my face knowing that you two, you're vibing and you're connecting, because it's an important thing. So that you're soaring together makes me happy.
Hi, Rom, Tom and Swan. Firstly, I hope all three of you are well. Probably best if I was kept anonymous. Don't fancy anyone contacting me after I tell this story. Before I begin, I just wanted to thank you both for the... Okay, there's a lot of sort of very nice stuff about this podcast. Now, for the story. I was listening to episode 43 a few weeks back, and I was crying with laughter until I realised something. I was in that lesson that day when Rom ripped his suit on the side of the desk. I thought it was something I'd blocked out, given that the school I went to was essentially hell. Okay. And thought I'd blocked out all memories of that 5 years, but it turns out I hadn't. I remember vividly coming into class that day and thinking, what the fuck is going on here? This is a bit that's quite embarrassing now. I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah.
I also remember a lot of my year talking about Mr... God, this is worse than the trouser thing.
I love you, by the way, Lisa, for this email. I love you, this one. This is amazing.
I remember the majority of my year talking about Mr. Ranganathan trying to teach Fractions to Lose Yourself by Eminem.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It's like whatever you do, you try and get hip hop and rap into it. It's insane. How did that even work? You look, by the way, you've gone from looking very saucy, very hot, to looking very, very embarrassed. I'd arguably say that you have just... Like, I was running the fucking good fucking race with the fucking mug of the episode award, and you have literally just gone... You've Carl Lewis passed my link for Christie. What was... Did you genuinely do that?
I honestly can't remember. I can't remember.
How did that even work?
I don't know. I don't know.
For the moment. So how would you do that to Fractions? Oh my God. You know what, as well, this tragic thing, and I don't want to lay on shit to you because I love you, my brother. You'd have had to have thought that out. You don't just come up with that. You'd have had to write it down.
I've got no recollection of doing that. It's so fucking embarrassing.
You must have.
I don't.
Did you dance when you did it? Or
no. Oh, God, it's so sad. Can you imagine?
Oh, my God.
A maths teacher just sort of...
No, you've got one chance
to add these fractions.
No, I've just got an idea of the kid.
Do you make the denominators the same, or do you throw it away?
Oh, is that what it was?
No, I'm just trying to imagine what it would have been. I bet as well.
They were like, "Oh no, he's getting out his hoodie. He's going to do the thing again." Oh. Pulling out your hoodie, so it's down, and it's like you've only got one chance. Good night.
God.
Oh, JT, do me a favour, JT. Just lace up a bit of that on there for us.
Yeah.
Just to hear.
If you're adding two fractions, if you add, you've got where the denominator's the same. Cross multiply.
Out of breath as well. Doing it like Eminem. Yeah. How many people in this room make maths?
Yeah. If you had to add two fractions, what would you do?
Oh my God. I love the idea of just kids just nudging themselves. Like you turning up in some frayed baggy jeans and a hoodie. So hello, Mr. Ranganathan. What are you doing today? It's fractions today. And let's just say you might want to come past my room at 2:10 this afternoon, because I'm going to be laying down a track.
Can you imagine the other fucking maths teachers heard about that? Have you heard about what Ranganathan's doing? You know he's the shittest one at maths in the department. Well, he's covering it up by doing Lose Yourself, the sad fuck. I also remember the majority of my year talk. I'm actually quite defeated by that. I also remember the
Don't
majority.
Don't be defeated.
Of my,
we've all done muggy stuff.
I also remember the majority of my year talking about Mr. Ranganathan trying to teach fractions to Lose Yourself and coming to the conclusion that teaching maths in our school is making you having a nervous breakdown of self kind.
Jeez.
I think you left soon after, and I think, if I'm honest, most of us thought it's because of ripped trouser or fraction hate. Until about 10 months later, we saw you on Russell Howard's Good News and realised that's why you left. Thank you both for being such wonderful souls. P.S. Tom, I've watched both series of King Gary in a day and I've been on repeat ever since. All the best, the Llama.
Right.
Well, Llama, thank you so much for
You know what? Look, I want to just jump in here, bro.
Okay.
You want to jump in here, right? And it's easy for me to give you a bit of a shoe in there about the Lose Yourself thing.
Well, I think that ship has sailed. No, if you're trying to
I just want to make sure that although the ship is sailing, upon it is a flag that flies very, very proudly. Because I think for all of those children in that class, yeah, yes, you might not have been like the fucking normal, boring old maths teacher, but I think everyone would agree. I wish I'd had a maths teacher who tried to make maths a little bit more interesting, a little bit more fun. It's the most boring subject. So for a maths teacher to pull his trousers apart and fucking rap and fucking...
For a maths teacher to deliver a song from 8 Mile with his dick out really shows a level of dedication.
I'm just saying that most of... This ex-student of yours sounds like they had a pretty tough time at school.
Mm.
And, you know, if you can be that one happy memory for that one child who you taught, then doesn't that's a pretty amazing thing.
It's very kind of you to say, Tom. Doesn't it sound like a happy memory?
No, I think it probably was.
Let me just quote something. I remember vividly coming to the class that day and thinking, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, but...
I also remember most of our year coming to the conclusion that teaching maths in Oscar was making you have a nervous breakdown of some kind.
Right, you're just, look, I think she fondly, or he fondly remembers it, okay? Yeah,
okay.
And I think there's probably a lot of kids who remember wacky Mr. Ranganathan and his unethical ways of doing teaching maths.
So, guys, welcome to the lesson. The bad news is we're doing quadratic equations. The good news is we're doing it, typically for a Ranganathan maths lesson, a little bit differently. Have you heard YMCA?
No, look, man, you're a cool guy. And I think, I'd imagine that there's a fist bump and a high five for every kid that left that lesson. And I, you know what? I bet three or four of them, every now and again, are worrying about doing fractions or sums, and they go back to that moment of Lose Yourself.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And, mate, sometimes the waves that we create that people are scared of are actually the waves that we ride upon. Remember that, yeah?
Yeah. No. Thank you. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for reaching out there. And you do a little grin there because you know you don't really mean anything you just said. Okay. The next email is from... I might have to beep that out, having sort of quickly skimmed the email, as I've said there. I don't really think we should give his name away. Anyway, love the pod, even though you promised bonus episodes and I get let down every Friday when there isn't one. Okay, that's a fair criticism. Anyway, my girlfriend eats pretty much every food imaginable, like she's never been fed before, and it really gets to me. I've tried saying to her that she eats loudly and it annoys me, but then she just sits there all sad and stops eating, which then makes me feel bad that I've ever even said anything. I know the problem is mine, but I can't stress enough how loudly she actually eats. The whole family is like it, and it makes sitting down for a meal extremely hard, as I want to just enjoy a meal without hearing heavy breathing, loud chewing, excessive chomping. None of them know they're doing it, and they've obviously never had anyone comment on it, so they look at me like I'm the weirdo, and I point out it sounds like they're all gargling their food. Any advice would be appreciated. Keep doing it. Okay, having read this, I don't know what Tom's going to say, but JT, can we beep out the name here? Because
I
don't feel like this is going to be good.
No. Beep it out. Yeah. Beep out that one as well. As a loud eater, and I'm a phenomenally loud eater.
I think you're exaggerating. I've eaten with you many times. And I've never been appalled by the way you ate. But anyway, go on.
No, I mean, I can now and again. If I'm really hungry, I chow down. I chow down hard. You know? But I don't know. I think it's a tough one, isn't it? Because... I think it's a really amazing thing that your girlfriend enjoys her food and so does her family. I think actually what my advice would be is like for you just to fucking get in there and relax with your eating. Like when you're eating with her family, don't do it with everyone because it might make other people uncomfortable and then you become that guy. But when you're eating with your girlfriend and you're eating with her family, just let your inhibitions go. Just fucking chow that food, brother. Just stick it in and just do what they're doing. Like just enjoy the sort of caveman fucking regal feeling of just being like Henry VIII and just grabbing a bit of chicken and stuffing it into your face and eating with your mouth open. Like, I think that would be the best advice in the world I could give you, yeah? And just staring at everyone around and like laughing and just sort of like, you know, just feeling you know, feeling like you and the food are one and before you let go of the food. Maybe let out a big fart, I don't know. I just think that when it comes to eating, you know, if you eat with lords and ladies and it's all regal and you've got to remember what knife and fork you're using, everyone puts so much fucking like emphasis on that. Oh God, I've got to eat like, you know. But if you're eating with people who are loud, do the same thing. Right, I think eating should be like running or like dancing. There's not one type of that thing. There's loads. Like, you wouldn't turn up to a fucking salsa class and start dancing like you're fucking in a ballroom like or a fucking hip hop club, would you? Every kind of vibe is a different thing. And maybe with eating, we should be the same. Let your inhibitions go and fly, my friend.
Mm. It's very good advice from Tom, as always. I feel like, I hope you don't mind me saying, please beep that one out again. I hope you don't mind me saying, I think you're being a bit out of order, man. And because, look, I don't know what your relationship's like, but this girl is like, she's just enjoying her food.
She's got that princess.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, her whole family, they eat a different way to you. So she's eating the way she's been brought up. And I think the change has to come from you, not her.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to find a way to deal with this. I just don't think it's okay to tell people about the way they eat. You know, if they're like... wasting food or, I don't know, being rude or whatever, that's one thing. But I think just somebody eating loudly, we have to eat to survive, okay? And eating is an enjoyable thing. If you love your girlfriend, do you really want to put it on her that she has to second guess the way she eats every time she eats a meal with you? Is that what you want for somebody? Or do you just want somebody to throw themselves into eating their food and enjoy it the way they want to? I just think, man, like, you've got to put her happiness above yours here, and you've got to do something about that. I don't know how you're going to manage that situation, but, you know, we eat three times a day, right? I don't know if you're living together or whatever, but do you want her to not be comfortable every single time she eats in her life with you? Is that really the person you want to be? I don't think you do, man. You sound like a nicer person than that.
Sound like a sweet girl.
What I would say to you is you've got to find a way to manage this yourself. And the management of that has to not involve her or bother her at all. You've got to figure out a way of doing this, because it would be, if you were able to figure out a way of dealing with this, whether that be, I don't know, I'm freestyling this, hypnosis, or just trying to figure out a way of managing this, or just being strong about it and ignoring it, it would be a wonderful thing that you could do for your girlfriend, because she gets all sad and stops eating. Do you want to be the person that makes your girlfriend sad and stop eating? I don't want to be that person. So,
wowzers.
Have a think
this
about
this. Is
that,
incredible
man.
Advice. And I've got to say, man, that was, yeah. Just to lay it on as well, you know who I think would be the person who, be like Mowgli from Jungle Book.
In what way? Just wear a little loincloth?
No, but like, think about Mowgli, right? One moment he's eating with the bears, and then he's eating with the lions, and then he's eating with like the birds and whatever. So he caters in different ways. He eats in different ways. He learns to eat in different ways. He learns to behave in different ways. So you don't just behave one way with one animal. You have to behave different ways and different. And then you yourself become a much more superior, you know, wider examined human being.
Oh, no.
I lost it on the end.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
Yeah.
That's a real shame.
Yeah. That's a real, yeah. I was, you know, listen. What? I was running with a torch then, and I could see you really like clapping me on, and then I tripped over.
Yeah. Accidentally set fire to Mowgli's village. Okay. I hope that helps. Can we beep out whenever we mention the name, please? Okay. Tom.
Yo.
It's come by quick, but it is about that time for you to... How do you think this episode's gone?
I've enjoyed it. Think,
if
I've
you were to look back on it and sort of review our performance.
It felt like a nice wrestle at times, but yeah, I've enjoyed it, man. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed just looking at you. You've been absolutely... You look like... You know what you look like today?
Go on.
You're like a goddamn star.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate it.
Sitting on your bed, you look like... You genuinely look like... Yeah. You look like the kind of comedian that I'm glad I have as a best friend.
Wow. That is a really lovely thing to say.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Yeah. Okay. Tomo, you want to take us out of this thing?
Oh, God. What?
I suspect you slightly regret using the Mowgli thing in the advice.
Yeah. But don't worry. I have more than one pair of shoes.
Okay, go for it.
And I can run in different styles. Because life is a game of perception, my friends. Different things are perceived differently for different people. For example, when one person is walking down the street and it's lashing down with rain and they see a puddle, some people stand back from the puddle, scared that a lorry might pass and spray the puddle all over them. Some people, however, look down into the puddle and use that puddle as a mirror. Things can be more than just one thing. The lonely seagull that roars down from the heavens to nick your chips. That's annoying. That's frustrating. But by God, that seagull is hungry. And if you've ever seen an Attenborough documentary, you know that it's harder for them to get fed anyway. So you are doing a better thing than it may be perceived upon your brain. So perception is hard. It's always worth, whenever in any situation, looking as you will always look and thinking how you always think, but then pushing your mind a little further. Thinking, hey, the shoe boots on the other foot, how's that person feeling? Where are they coming from? How do they perceive this situation we're in? When getting a football shirt, perception is a great thing to put across the back, because it means not only have you perceived the football shirt, but wearing it entails. You're a good person. You're a sweet soul. Go perceive the world in so many ways. But keep your vision your own.
That's lovely. I really enjoyed that. I would say to people that I wouldn't endorse getting perception across the back of your football shirt.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it would be kind of cool.
It's quite expensive.
If one person gets that done, I'll get it done.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Fine. If you can send a photo in of you with a football shirt that says perception across the back of it, Tom will get the same thing done and he will
actually talking about football shirts
at our first live show.
Leads me to talking about we are making headway with the merchandise, and I know that we are full of hollow promises, like a fucking pathetic character from a fucking Jane Austen novel.
Yeah. But, wow.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I'm more red than you would have thought. But we are moving down the road of getting these things going. And the reason, guys, we have to be honest with you, the bonus episode hasn't happened or aren't happening at the moment. We're both very, very busy. Mm-hmm. Both of our schedules open. Oh, my God. Sorry, I wasn't going to go on. But Romesh has, early on in this podcast, talked about the fact he's done no exercise today, but is now drinking out of what looks like a gallon jug of hydration. With hydrate on it, like he's done a massive workout. Oh my God. I love you, Romesh Ranganathan, and everyone who sells in you.
Anyway, merchandise is on the way. Bonus episode probably isn't for a little bit.
Yeah, I've probably got a couple of weeks till you finish with the Ranganathan, right?
Wow. Ranganathan. Wow, so you're sticking that on me?
No, it's been my fault up to now because I've been filming. But now, yeah, we've got another three. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Love you guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Steam fire. Steam heavy, but just steam.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually didn't mind that. Take care. Bye-bye. Peace out.
Bye-bye.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.